Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Magic the Amateuring, a podcast for people who love magic almost as much as we do or more.
Yeah, or like they're not sure if they love magic, but they think that they've like, they kind of got a little crush on it.
My name is Ben, and I am a robot from the future sent back in time to teach magic to my co-hosts, Maria and Megan.
I'm Megan.
I'm Maria, a girl from the present.
Oh, I forgot to say where I'm from.
Where are you from?
The past.
Where?
She's a Civil War general.
I am.
Oh my God.
I fought for the North, don't worry.
Oh, I was going to say, you looked like General Robert E. Lee.
I look like General Robert E. Lee?
It's just the mutton chops.
That's because she defeated him and took his facial hair.
Oh, those mutton chops threw me off.
Thank you. That's what they're meant to do.
Well, everybody, thanks for joining us on our lovely show about magic. We have a good show for you today. For the noobs, we're going to talk about stages of the turn.
Yeah. And we're going to have some flavor text theater, pick, lick, or flick with a Born of the Gods pack.
We've got a history shit for you.
Ooh, history shit.
It's a segment we're bringing back.
Uh-huh. It is brought back. I happen to know a lot about history shit, but mostly regarding the American Civil War.
Weird.
I don't know where that came from.
We're also going to chat about our first experiences drafting Born of the Gods. Mm. Yeah, it was spicy. For the noobs.
Ooh, for the noobs.
Phases of a turn.
Wow, there are so many phases of the turn.
There really are.
There really are. When I'm on moto, sometimes it's like, no, you're on this phase. And I'm like, where'd that come from?
Just out of nowhere.
Just out of nowhere.
How many phases of the turn do you think there are?
Wait, should I count or should I just say a
number?
We
have to guess.
Just, yeah, throw out your gut guess.
Seven.
Question. Is this just a basic turn where nothing funny has happened?
Sure, just a normal turn.
Okay, I'm going to try not to count in my head. 10. No,
I'm trying to.
It's got to be like 8. 5.
No, wait.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Don't
count.
We're not supposed to count.
It's like 7. I think that's what my first
okay,
guess was 7.
So
and I
what
think it's
are
correct.
What do you think the 7 phases are?
Okay.
Untap.
Upkeep.
Draw. First main phase. Combat. Second main phase.
No. Declare attackers.
Oh, are we doing all
combat,
the parts
declare
of combat?
Blockers.
Okay, so there's begin combat, declare attackers, declare blockers, then the damage, combat damage.
Combat damage.
Second main phase, end step,
clean up. What was that? We should have been counting.
God, that was a lot.
All right, so first of all, you're all wrong.
Great.
Good. Solid.
Par for the show.
But originally, back when Magic first came out, there were 7 phases. But now they've kind of grouped some of them together.
Oh.
So there are 5 phases of the turn.
Oh.
There's the beginning phase.
Wait, so you're saying that Maria was correct in the present and I was correct
in
the past?
Past? Funny how this works.
In the future, there will be only one phase.
The
and everyone will
phase.
Receive priority at the same time.
Oh my God. So turn phases used to be different. That's what you're telling me.
Yes. Yeah. Things have been changed throughout history, and it's not really that important when, because we're never going back.
Don't never say never, Ben.
Okay.
No, we're never going back to the way it was before the war.
Okay.
They
okay.
did have to fight a war to unify the turn structure.
Really?
Yes.
North and South?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It was a war of magic players. We lost a lot. We lost a lot of people.
A lot of good people.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there are 5 phases in the turn. The first phase is the beginning phase. And this is made up of 3 steps, the untap step,
okay.
the upkeep step, and the draw step. And these did actually used to be different phases, but now they are steps.
So what is the difference between being a phase and being a step?
There is basically no difference.
So it's arbitrary.
It is arbitrary.
Okay.
Yeah. So like the difference doesn't really make much sense. There used to be a difference in that mana would only empty from your mana pool at the end of a phase.
Uh-huh.
But they changed that rule too, and now it empties at the end of every step.
Oh.
Yeah, I found that out, unfortunately.
What did you do?
When I sacked my 2/1 Satyr Hedonist for 3 red, that it went away. During combat.
What were you doing?
I was being dumb, you guys.
When were you sacking it?
During combat.
You're gonna like sack it. You're like
you're gonna
yeah.
block.
I was like
block
sack. get my 3 red mana. Oh, bye-bye. There they go.
Wait, so when Magic Online was
that's
like,
amazing.
Your mana pool is about to empty. Are you sure you want it passed? You're like, of course I'm sure.
Yes, because I also made another stupid thought, which the... I thought the mana would stay, but it didn't, because I wanted to play a dude. It wasn't even an instant, you guys. I'm ashamed telling you this right now.
You it's okay, Maria. We've always...
Not in combat. I just thought it would stay.
On your opponent's turn?
We've or like all it was... had moto fuck-ups.
It was my turn. I thought
you thought that you would be able
would
to
stay...
use that red mana in your second main phase.
Yes, that's... the You make
on
it sound
your,
a lot smarter.
After you blocked?
Right. And sacked it.
She thought Wait, how she... did... She How thought if you... she blocked and sacked that that 3 red mana
would stay
there until
my
she
second
used
main phase.
It during her second main phase.
Yes.
Yeah, but if you blocked, then wouldn't it have been your opponent's turn?
Maybe I attacked.
Then that's super weird.
Might as well attack since I'm going to sack this anyway.
Yeah, like that's probably what I thought.
Oh my God.
You guys, I feel real brave admitting this to you on the show.
Yeah, wow.
I just want to say, listeners, if you're an idiot, I'm there with you.
One
Maria
time,
thought that she could cast a creature during her opponent's second main phase.
No, no, no.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding you
guys.
Wow, Maria, that was very brave. Well, I'm so glad you told us that. Thank you so much.
I'm sure it will never come back to haunt me in any kind of form of taunting.
Listener, if you have an embarrassing story about how long you thought mana was going to last, send us a tweet at MTAcast.
You can mana and save it for the winter.
That's right. We recommend that you make sure that you're properly boiling them so you don't get mana botulism. You don't want your creatures to have mana botulism, guys. It's a real downer on the battlefield.
Okay. So the beginning phase of Magic.
Right.
Yes.
The beginning phase of Magic consists of 3 steps, as we mentioned, untap, upkeep, and draw. During the untap step... no one gets priority ever. It is not allowed.
Whoa.
It's just a it's a thing that's happening and you can't stop it.
Yep. Stuff can trigger during the untap step. For example, inspired creatures, that'll trigger.
Yes.
But because no one gets priority, nothing goes on the stack. We talked about this a little bit when Judge Rob was on 2 episodes ago.
Yep.
Stuff just untaps, and then after everything is untapped and after everyone has chosen whether or not to untap optional things, you move on to upkeep. Nothing special happens in upkeep, but anything that says at the beginning of your upkeep step or the beginning of your upkeep, because it doesn't usually say step on the cards.
No.
Those things would go on the stack. Both players get priority, and then once both players have passed in succession, we move on to the draw step. Steps in Magic are named after the thing that happens at the beginning of the step.
Oh, I thought they were named after Mark Rosewater's children, untap, upkeep, and draw.
So during the draw step,
untap, clean your room.
Oh, upkeep. I swear, if you do not clean up the dog poop in the backyard, you are going to be grounded.
Draw, if you bring that boy back over here, he seems like a nice guy.
He seems like a nice guy. Invite him over for dinner. Your mom and I like him.
Sorry, Ben.
So you draw at the beginning of the draw step, and then both players will get priority during this step. So. That means if you've got something that you know you want to make your opponent discard, or maybe you have a spell that does damage based on the number of cards in your opponent's hand, you're
like that dragon friend.
Well, if it's an instant.
Wait, okay, shut up.
if you have something you want to do that takes into account the number of cards in someone's hand, you can do it then. That's your chance to do it before the main phase when they could play out a land
that's
or something.
That's what I'm saying. Stormbreath Dragon.
Yeah, but you can't play a Stormbreath Dragon.
No, but you activate its monster's ability and it deals damage to them based on their number of cards in their hand.
If you want to do one more damage, yeah.
Don't act like I'm crazy.
Mm-hmm.
We've established I'm the idiot here.
I thought you were talking about Hand Damage Dragon.
Shut up, Ben. Everyone knows that Hand Damage Dragon does not have flash.
So that's the beginning phase. The other 4 phases are the pre-combat main phase, the combat phase, the post-combat main phase, and the end phase.
Oh, the end gets its own phase.
Yep.
I feel like nothing ever happens there.
What? You can stuff
all kinds
so
of stuff.
So much stuff in your opponent's
There's
end
a
step.
Lot of stuff. We'll
you
get
man.
To that later.
You better, you
we'll get
stuff
to that later.
So, much.
So the main phases are pretty straightforward.
Wait, let's go back to the end step phase. Let's talk about how bad you're going to want to Farika's cure that Wingsteed Rider in that person's end step. That was just an example. Let's keep going.
Okay.
So in the main phase, the only special thing that happens is that the active player can cast creatures, sorceries, enchantments, artifacts, and can play a land spell if they want to. Remember, land does not use the stack, but you can play a land when you would have priority. When you have priority, you can play a land.
So you can't... someone can't play a land, and then you're like, in response to that land...
Right, exactly.
I blank.
Yeah.
And you play a land, you do not cast a land, FYI.
Right.
That's right.
So that's why, say you want to do something, the draw step is your last chance before your opponent could, like, play out a land or something.
Gotcha.
Yes. So then.
So if you have that spell that says opponents can't play lands this turn, you better cast it on their draw.
Mm-hmm.
It's an instant.
All right, so then the combat phase has five steps in it. And remember, we were talking about how I was telling you guys how the names of the steps are named after what happens at the beginning of the step.
Yes.
All right, so the names of the steps are beginning of combat step, declare attacker step, declare blocker step, combat damage, and end of combat step.
Yeah, right.
So the beginning and the end step... there's nothing special about those steps. They're just there so you have chances to do stuff right before attackers are declared or right after combat damage has happened. And those are both still considered to be during combat. So declare attackers, the active player chooses which creatures they want to attack with at the beginning of this step. So if you wait on Magic Online to begin attacker step, it's going to be too late for you to tap anything down because players don't get priority until after the attackers have been declared.
That's right. So, beginning of combat.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I actually ended up putting a stop on Moto for my side of begin combat. It's usually automatically already on for your opponent's begin combat. Because I would do stupid stuff like my return phalanx. I would forget to activate it. And then I would F2 in my main. And then it would jump to declare attackers, at which point it's too late. So now I put a stop on, you can F2 and it's like begin combat. And then I'm like, oh,
whoa,
shit.
Whoa,
remember that? Don't worry, guys. There's still time to activate that return phalanx.
I agree with that. I also have a stop on my begin combat and my opponent's begin combat phase. It makes life easier.
It does make life easier, especially if you're prone to fucking up.
It's one of those little things like Band-Aids or... scotch tape.
I have Band-Aids and scotch tape in my bag.
And modern dentistry.
If you play a lot of paper magic, you might not be aware of this, that there is, like, the beginning combat is not when you declare attackers. It's just your last chance before you declare attackers.
Exactly. It's like, are you sure?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, we're beginning combat. Ta-da!
So this is why if you want to see if your opponent has any effects before attackers, you say, Go to attacks. Go to attacks, which is short for go to declare attacks. You can't say, you can't just say go to combat because they'd be like, all right, we're in the beginning combat stuff.
Yeah, I found saying go to attacks is a pretty good thing to do when you're playing paper magic, you know, just to double check because if you go in and swing, then you've tilted your hand if they say, no, I want to do something before you swing.
Right.
So. Yeah, just beware of giving your opponent too much information.
So then we have declare blocker step. This is where the non-active player declares any blockers. And this step actually only happens if attackers were declared. So if no attackers were declared, you just skip straight to the end combat step.
Oh. I don't know if I've ever noticed that.
So there's no blockers this step. There's no blockers.
Well, if there's no attackers, there's no blockers.
I know.
I feel like I still want to block.
I would like to block the creatures with which you are not attacking.
So this is when the non-active player declares any blockers if there are attackers, and then the active player orders them if there are any blockers to order.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have your chance. Both players get priority here, and it's your last chance to do anything before combat damage happens.
Mm-hmm.
Because then we go to the combat damage step, and at the beginning of that step, all combat damage happens. Unless there are creatures out with first strike or double strike,
yes.
Then we just have first strike damage, then players get priority, then we have normal damage, then players get priority.
Going really quickly back to the blockers, declaring mm-hmm. blockers, remember that if you're blocking and you have a trick which you are considering using because you think your opponent is going to use a trick,
mm-hmm.
They have priority first.
Mm-hmm.
And if they pass priority to you without having used a trick,
yeah.
They now cannot use it unless you cast it. Something.
Mm-hmm.
So as a person who is blocking, it's actually important to remember.
As
a blocking American. You can
it's important to know your rights.
Well, I'm
that's very true.
You can be like,
This is a very profound lesson coming from a Civil War general.
Really you are progressive.
Considering if you are the person who is blocking, then you...
I'm an attacking American, oh so I can't relate. Like, I understand your way of life, but...
I'm a post-combat American.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You can stop and be like, do you have any effects before damage? And if they say no, then they are passing priority to you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't cast anything, they can't cast a trick at that point.
Right.
There's actually an old Magic folktale about some tournament where some guy... asked his opponent if he had any fast effects, and then he lost the game because he passed priority by asking if his opponent had any fast effects.
Just by saying those words?
Yeah.
Oh, because he was the attacker. He was an attacking American?
Yeah.
So as an attacking American, he was like, effects before damage?
Yes, he basically ceded from the nation of winning.
Bam!
That's so...
His opponent was like, well, I passed too, and now I win.
Wow. I bet that guy felt like a real douche nozzle.
Yes.
Yep, I'm sure he did. Yes, so remember, as an attacking American,
that's me.
If you say effects before damage, that means that you have passed your ability to play a combat trick unless they play one, mm-hmm. in which case you can play something in response.
So don't let people get you on this in paper magic, by the way. Yeah.
And as a blocking American, you can say, do you have any effects before damage?
Yeah. This is also true if you live in Switzerland or any other country.
Yes.
Your rights are the same.
Your
There's
rights
a universal
are the same.
Charter.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been signed
universal
by the
charter
UN.
Of magic rights. Magic
it's NATO rights. Enforced. There's a peacekeeping squad that will stand up for your rights.
That's right.
And then the end of combat step, the only special thing here is this is your last chance to do anything when creatures are still considered to be attacking or blocking. So if you have a card that says destroy target attacking or blocking creature, you can cast it in the end combat step. If you have Celestial Flare that says target player sacrifices, an attacking or blocking creature?
Yeah.
You can use it here after combat damage has happened, after possibly creatures have died.
Yeah. So if they have two creatures out, and one of them is going to die in combat, and mm-hmm. one of them is not, mm-hmm. and you want them to have to sack the better creature that's not going to die, you can wait until after combat damage.
Mm-hmm.
That other stupid dude has died.
That's an advanced play.
Next level.
Boom.
Then you have the post-combat main phase. This is the same as the pre-combat main phase, obviously. And then we have the ending phase, which consists of the end step and the cleanup step.
Mm. Cleanup is important.
Shut up. I know my room is dirty.
Probably don't want to skip that.
I know my room
that.
Is dirty.
Hygiene is important.
I hate you both.
We're recording in Megan's bedroom.
So the main thing at the end step is that anything that says at the end of the turn or at the beginning of the end step, that stuff will trigger at the beginning of the step. And then this is your last chance. Usually to cast any spells, do any instants, do whatever you want, kill something, blah, 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 blah. Then you have the cleanup step, which is when any effects that say until end of turn, these wear off. Also, any damage on creatures wears off simultaneously. And then if you're the active player and you have more than seven cards in your hand, you are forced to discard down to seven. Or whatever your maximum hand size is, depending on other effects.
Good point.
In 99.99% of circumstances, you do not receive priority during the cleanup step.
What's the point?
If something triggers during the cleanup step, which almost never ever happens, then you do get priority. Both players do get priority, and then after, like, that effect takes place, I believe you get priority again, and then you would end. But really, like, that never happens, because most cards say at the beginning of the end step or at the end of your turn, and that all happens in the end step, not the cleanup step. There are only, like, a few really old cards that actually have triggers during the cleanup step. So basically, almost never. Basically, just assume never.
Okay. Assuming never.
Mm. Assuming never.
Yes. And one thing to keep in mind is there are some cards that say at the, you know, if they do say at the end of your turn or at the end of this turn or at the beginning of the end step, if you like put a token into play that says at the beginning of the end step, sacrifice this token, you can do that during the end step and then it won't sacrifice until the next turn. So you could do it like for example.
What?
For example, let's look up the card Kiki Jiki. You guys know this card?
It's in my trade binder right now. Call me, ladies and gentlemen.
Kiki Jiki, the oracle text for this says, haste, tap, put a token that's a copy of target non-legendary creature you control onto the battlefield. That token has haste. Sacrifice it at the beginning of the next end step. So what does that mean? It means if you do it during your opponent's end step, you could put a token into play. Then you can untap and put another token into play, and they'd both still be around that turn.
Oh, awesome.
So, like,
nice.
Say you want to alpha strike them.
Yeah.
You can make multiple tokens during your turn. Yeah.
Oh, snap.
Mm-hmm. That's some advanced trickery.
Yeah, we've just next leveled twice on this show for you guys.
Mm. Whoa.
Well, buddy. There's a lot of parts that go into a turn.
And there sure are.
Just to, like, take you guys back, the original Kiki Jiki Mirror Breaker, the original text on the card when it was printed in Champions of Kamigawa said, haste, put a creature token into play that's a copy of target non-legendary creature you control. That creature token has haste. Sacrifice it at end of turn. But now, instead of end of turn, you would say at the beginning of the end step, because people found it confusing.
When does my turn really end?
Right. When does it ever really end? You know what I mean?
When does my turn really end?
It was really confusing to people, and it was, like, awkward. It was awkward to explain. Like, say you're playing in a draft with someone that was pretty new.
Yeah.
Like, how are you going to explain to that person, oh, well, I know it says at the end of my turn, but really it just means right before the end of my turn.
I mean, there's still, you can still, I will sacrifice it, and then you can still do something while it's my turn.
Yeah.
But it was the end of my turn.
Right.
That person's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. So those are the phases and the steps of the turn.
I don't think any of you who've just been listening can rightly call yourselves noobs anymore.
No. You have been advanced into adulthood.
Yep.
it's time to start paying taxes. You're senior noobs.
Senor noobs.
Senor
noobs.
Senor noobs.
Yeah, he hooked me up with some sweet drugs when I was in Mexico.
I love how you couldn't think of what you wanted to say, so you just said drugs, just in general. Yeah.
No, I know. I didn't ask what he gave.
Just whatever.
It.
Sweet drugs from Senor noobs. Oh, okay.
All right.
So I hope I stuffed some knowledge into your knowledge canals.
My canal's so full. History shit.
History shit. Mm. This week's history shit comes to you courtesy of Kellogg's.
What?
That's a hunk.
Mm-mm, two scoops of raisins.
I wish it came to us courtesy of Kellogg.
That was a lie, guys. That was a total lie. We are not, nor have we ever been sponsored by Kellogg.
Hey, if you work for Kellogg or any other major company that's interested in getting no return on your investment, please consider investing
that's
in
right.
Magic the Amateuring.
Snap, crackle, pop, bitches.
They're great.
Almost.
Let's get going.
What do you got, Megan?
History shit this week is about the Pro Tour.
Why are we choosing that this week, Megan?
Because this coming weekend is Pro Tour Valencia, or Pro Tour Born of the Gods.
I'm going to call it Pro Tour Born of the Gods.
Sounds good to me. It's in Valencia, though.
Okay.
So you could do whatever. Anyways, so I was like, when was the first Pro Tour ever? And it turns out that that answer, like so many answers in this life, is a complicated one.
Yeah.
So the first major Magic tournament was actually was called the World Championship, mm-hmm. and it was in 1994 mm-hmm. at Gen Con.
Can mm-hmm. we technically call it a Pro Tour then? If it
yes,
whoa,
it was not a Pro Tour. That was not for almost another decade. Nope, that was a wrong number. I said the wrong number.
Yeah, more like 2 years.
More like 2 years. More like 2 years.
I understand. Where you're
rounding up, we're rounding up to the nearest decade.
Rounding up nearest decade. Anyway, so 1994 at Gen Con, there were about 500 people. They didn't win any money.
What was the format of the tournament?
It was constructed.
And it was a single elimination tournament.
Oh, snap.
Really? Yep. Oh, my God. 500 people? Oh, bye.
Single elimination. You played once. Get the get out. Fuck out of here. Did you lose? Get out of here.
And that's amazing. The person who won didn't get any money.
No, but he did get a bunch of packs. Mm. He got a bunch of packs.
When you say a bunch?
I don't know the number.
If you were this guy, give us a call.
If your name is Zach Dolan,
of playing cards with the Magic the Gathering backs on them.
Oh, that's worth. There you go. That's worth a lot of money. I'm sure.
I'm sure it is. I wish I had some of those. That'd be the coolest shit.
So I'd
run those in my constructed deck.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
King of Hearts.
I play this Ace of Spades. So the first Pro Tour was in February 1996. It was in New York.
In the crown of the Statue of Liberty.
It was played in the
little known fact. Oh.
And the winner got the torch. It was up to them to take it home.
That's why it's still there.
That's why it's still there. God, they're working on it. One day that torch is going to be gone. We're all going to know where it
went. Sorry, I'm lying to you, Megan. Tell them the truth.
Anyways, that wasn't the prize. I actually don't know what the prize was.
We'll 96, first Pro Tour New York, right?
Yep, Pro Tour New York.
Once again, I assume it's standard constructed.
Yes.
Standard did not exist back then.
It was just constructed.
What did they call it, Ben?
Actually, I don't know what originally they broke the formats down into Type 1 and Type 2, which were Standard and Legacy, what we think of them today. But I don't know if they had actually like a standard format back then. I think it was basically just all cards were legal because there were so few sets out at the time. And then also they had a banned and restricted list.
So yeah. How long had Magic been out at this point in 96 when they had their first Pro Tour?
It had been out for 3 years.
Yeah, not very long. So
that's pretty good.
It was basically, yeah. I think, up until Ice Age were the sets that were out.
Okay,
nice. And so that year there were 4 different Pro Tour events. And every year since then, the number of Pro Tours each year has varied. It's been from a low of, I think, 4 or 3 because eventually, so they were still holding like a World Championship each year. And up until 2011, the World Championship was considered one of the Pro Tour events.
Okay.
In 2011, they decided to discontinue that. There's still a World Championship, but it's not one of the Pro Tours. It is a separate event. So I think briefly there have been 3 Pro Tours and then the World Championship, which is different. Different qualification. There's like World Championship specific qualifiers.
Just swear a blood oath.
Yep. Different prize payout, that whole sort of thing.
I bet they didn't like have anybody saying, under the Jace banner, come under the Jace banner if you're scheduled for the 2:30 Mini Masters.
And so
Pro Tour Mini Masters, that's what I'm waiting for.
Oh my God, Pro Tour Mini Masters.
That'd be so awesome.
Yeah, so there are now, so last year there were only 3 Pro Tours. This year they've added back in a 4th one. So they added back in another one for the core set. Last year there wasn't a Pro Tour for just the core set. And so with 4 Pro Tour events, at least 2 out of the 4 are always standard. So it usually goes standard, modern, standard, and then block constructed. So it was standard for Pro Tour Theros. Modern is Pro Tour Born of the Gods. Pro Tour Journey into Nyx, I believe, is going to be, oh God, I don't remember, because it should be block constructed, but I think it's supposed to go standard.
We've got our best man on the job.
I think it should fall out so that Pro Tour M15 is standard, and then Pro Tour Journey into Nyx is block constructed.
And these also feature some draft in them as well.
Yes, every Pro Tour has begins each of the 2 days with a draft. So there's three rounds of draft on the first day and three rounds of draft on the second day.
And yeah, it is Theros block constructed. They always do the block constructed format with the last expansion, because that's when all the cards are out. And then we actually get to see what kind of decks can be made just with cards from those blocks.
You're right. Okay, so Pro Tour Journey into Nyx will be standard, and then Pro Tour M15 will be...
No, Pro Tour Journey into Nyx is going to be Theros block constructed, because it'll be right after Nyx has come out.
That's what I thought. All right, so there's that. Just so you know, there's about $250,000 in cash that now is awarded in prizes. With $40,000 going to first place.
So you're saying the Pro Tour could be the target of a heist movie?
Yes. Because they give it to them.
Because at the end of the
cold, hard
cash.
Wheelbarrows.
It's over in the corner.
Grab it. They do that at like poker championships, right? They dump all the cash on the table.
Really do. Yeah. I wish they did that.
That would be amazing.
I want to do that. Like if you're just playing for a booster box, I want them to open all the packs and then dump all the cards out on the table.
You shouldn't do that, because a sealed booster box is worth more than an unsealed booster box.
That's not as exciting though.
Yeah.
No, it isn't. It really isn't.
Fun fact, they only have one very old blind guard who guards the wheelbarrows of money at the Pro Tour.
And he goes to the bathroom at 3 a.m. every morning.
Ooh, at 3 a.m. you say?
I'm not supposed to tell anybody that, but I just did. You guys in a heist movie, what are your roles, Ben? Who are you?
Probably the computer hacker.
Makes sense.
Ben is 100% the computer hacker.
The guy in the van. Megan,
Maria,
who are you?
You're hot bait. I'm sorry.
Hot bait.
I'm the bait, but I only bait hot people.
You know how when you go fishing, you use bait for some to catch some fish?
Yeah.
That bait needs to be
They call it live bait.
You guys, can I just stand in a bear trap in a slinky dress? Do you think that'll work?
Yes.
Megan,
how
who are you?
About a dress made out of bear traps?
That's the best idea I've ever heard.
I think I'm like, I don't know. I'm the person with the vendetta. I'm the person with like a personal reason for this heist.
I could see you as like the pyrotechnics expert.
Yes. Oh my totally. God, I'm totally the explosions person.
That's so cool.
I wanted to call myself the explosions.
Explosives.
The explosions, bitch. Who are you? The explosions, bitch.
Who'd we get for explosions, bitch?
Oh,
Megan.
Megan.
Or I could also see you as the person with an accent.
I can also see you as a person who goes down from the ceiling, like in Mission Impossible.
Look, hook me up to the ceiling, Regan. I've got to go drop into the lasers.
Go, 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 go. I'm working as fast as I can.
You guys, these bear traps are pinching my nipples.
Come on, you computer ninny.
I like how we have nice, good communication, like, during this.
Yeah.
We've all got
walkie-talkies. Over.
Over.
All
anyway.
Right. So anyways, Pro Tours.
Yeah.
There you go. First one. Simple answer. First one was in 1996.
Can I tell you something? It seems like there's more than four Pro Tours a year.
What?
No, there aren't. Oh, it's only there because aren't. There's so many Grand Prix.
Yeah, that's
there
what it
so
is.
So many Grand Prix.
Yeah.
So you guys, what's next? Didn't you guys do some Born of the Gods drafting?
We did do some Born of the Gods drafting on Tuesday. We played cards.
Tell me about it.
Well, I drafted a blue-white heroic deck.
Oh,
I thought this was a good deck in previous times.
It is.
Uh-huh. And why not now?
Uh-huh. And,
reasoning.
What did you find, Ben?
Well, my deck smashed. I went 3-0.
Ooh.
I had a super aggressive deck. I started out by taking the blue-white uncommon Afara's Radiance.
Enlightenment
Radiance or something.
The enchantment.
It's the 3-mana enchantment that puts a counter and gives flying to a creature, and then you can bounce it whenever you play a creature.
Yeah.
So you can play it again.
What was the top of your curve, Ben?
That's
the
sick.
Top of my curve was a Fabled Hero.
That's a three drop, FYI.
I had all three drops and lower in my deck. I did have like the six mana double strike bestow guy, so I guess technically that was probably the top of my curve, but it was a very, very low mana cost deck. I had about 15 creatures in it and a bunch of, and then like eight or nine ways to enchant them or enable heroic or do all that stuff. I had a Fabled Hero. I had a whole bunch of tap cats.
Wave Crash Titans.
I had some Wave Crash Titans. Yeah, I had.
What's a tap cat?
It's the 2/1 for two mana where when it comes into play or when it enters the battlefield, you can tap. Yeah, it's Leonin
Tap Cat.
Tap Cat.
Hey, Tap Cat.
I thought you were just saying Tap Cat about the wave. Whatever.
No, that's not crash. A cat. No, that's a Triton. That's a tap Triton.
Yeah, it's a and that's a double tap Triton.
I love tap cat.
I heard that on someone's stream. Nice. Susie the Gnat. She's a streamer on Twitch, and she was calling it tap cat.
Tap cat.
So
tap cat.
I like that. I like that. Yeah.
I like that a lot.
So I had a whole bunch of things that would tap. I also had what is it, Glare of the Sun God or something that taps X creatures. I never actually cast that, but it seemed like it would have been really good because I was mostly just playing two drops, probably. Three drops, attacking for a whole bunch. Nice. There was one game where I got my opponent down to two and then stalled out a little bit. And then eventually I just had to mass up a bunch of creatures. And then eventually I had like a tap cat. I played it. I bounced my my enchantment, played it again on a Wave Crash Titan. And I think I had like drawn the tap cat off of another cantrip enchantment. So like I just massed up a bunch of creatures. He couldn't attack because he was like at two life and I was going to get in as soon as he hit me for anything.
Yeah.
And so eventually I just like had some flyers and tapped enough stuff down that I just boom, got him.
Question. Nice. How did you find playing with the Born of the Gods pack change your experience at all?
Not very much.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
It did not feel that different. I had some different creatures like, you know, I had the Hypnotist instead of some of the other two ones, but it didn't feel that different. I guess I had like the double strike Eidolon was pretty cool because it was kind of like having another Fabled Hero.
Nice.
Just because it could do all kinds of crazy shenanigans. But that and like Stratus Walk and the Afara's Enlightenment or whatever it is. Those were like the only cards that felt different at all. But in the overall, it felt just like playing a normal blue-white heroic deck. But I got into that archetype because I knew, like, this is a deck I've played before, and I see no reason why it cannot still work.
Sweet. And
Maria, how about you?
Well, Ben, I played a red-white deck that was attempting to be fast, but also had some beef on the end.
Man, I like a fast deck with some beef on the end.
Sounds like my barbecue Porsche.
Oh my god. And I posted a picture of this on our Twitter. You can find it if you follow us at MTAcast. And I thought my deck looked pretty good, pretty solid. I played with some new dudes. I also had the guy who bestows for six to give double strike. But in the end, I don't know what it was. It just was a little underpowered. And I was thinking that red was going to get a boost in Born of the Gods, which it certainly did. There's better red cards than we saw previously. I had the dragon. You know, the guy, the tribute, 3/3 tribute guy, Faragax Giant, that sort of thing. But in the end, I still felt very underpowered, especially against green, which is very beefy. Yeah. And I
noticed in looking at your photo,
I think I did not have enough creatures.
I felt that you did not, like, you had some lightning strikes, which are
two,
good.
Yep.
And a divine verdict, but it was a little short on unconditional removal for getting rid of like a big, like an Arbor Colossus.
Right.
Or something like that. Like anyone drops like a big, any more than just one big green creature and you're in a little bit of trouble.
What do I have to fight those, that sort of thing in red? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Which you can argue is a little bit of the problem with red is that there aren't a ton of things.
You have like Divine Verdict or Excoriate in white.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes
Excoriate, there's a good one.
Sometimes tricks can help you out of those jams, but it's hard to do. Like typically, you just want to try to aggro them out, and then have some amount of reach in your red deck to finish them off, so that
Maybe I was trying to be a little too mid-rangey with this deck, and it's just not suited for that sort of thing.
Well, I've heard that the Boros decks, just the way they play out, tends to be really underwhelming.
Okay.
People say they're still not good, but I don't know. I do think it's the reach that's really missing from
the decks.
Is like you just don't have a way to finish them off once they stabilize.
Yeah. And I mean, playing against Nessie and Aspa, I mean, that card is just nuts.
What a joke.
Yeah, that card
is a joke.
Still a good card. Still a big old
fat
snake.
I had two observations quickly to share. One was, I played with a new Minotaur.
Lay them out on the deck.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Observation deck.
First observation, the new Minotaur, who has inspired, and he will get +2/+0 when he becomes
you like him. You like him a lot.
He's a 2/3. Yeah. I was completely unimpressed.
Mm-hmm.
Completely. Ooh. Yeah. Every time I played him, I wished it was the other one. Skull Cleaver. The 4/2 who comes down.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my first impression. If you feel differently, let me know. But just tough. Secondly, the Bestow guy who gives double strike. I always waited to play him until I had 6 mana and I could play him on something. But I kind of think that that's not always correct. You can play him down and then later suit him up with stuff. I don't know.
I think it depends on the strategy your deck is taking. If you know you need to be fast. And
get him out.
If you have another 3-drop, you probably want to play it. But if you don't, then I would say get him out. You can start getting in for some damage, especially in red-white that's going to have a lot of combat tricks and other potential stuff to enchant on it later. I would say, play him out. If you see an opportunity to get in some damage, you got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's your strat.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. But I, too, found that the draft experience is not altogether too different from Triple Throws.
No, didn't feel that different.
Flavortex Theater, Pick, Lick, or Flick. Pick, Lick, or Flick is a game we like to play where we open a Born of the Gods pack or any pack.
Maria, you want to touch this pack so it has a good rare?
Here we go. Touching it.
All right.
Ben did not touch it with his hive hand.
Fucking hive hand.
I did touch it earlier. Because it's my pack.
I know, but now Maria touched it, and hopefully.
Special shout out to David Lipkin, who lost this pack to me in a bet on the Super Bowl. The bet was arbitrated by a third party, so neither one of us picked which team we were betting on.
All right.
I didn't explain this game. We're going to pick some cards randomly out of this pack.
Mm-hmm.
If we like them, we're a variation of Marry, Fuck, Kill. We will pick it. If we would just like to, have relations with it, we'll lick it and spank it and send it out the door. And if we hate it, we will flick it.
Yep.
All right. Here we go. All
right.
We have Karametra's Favor.
Mm.
It's a green card, one colorless, one green, enchant creature. When Karametra's Favor enters the battlefield, draw a card, enchant your creature has tap, add one mana of any color to your mana pool.
All right.
This is a lick at highest. That's a lick at highest.
It is going up against Fall of the Hammer. Target creature you control deals damage equal to its power to another target creature.
There's a solid pick if I've ever seen
that
one. That's a hammer I could take home to meet my grammar.
And we have Nyxborn Shieldmate. 1 white for a 1/2 or bestow for 2 colorless and a white.
Cheap bestow.
Enchanted creature gets +1/+2.
Oh, man.
So, you guys, it is really tough. I feel like I am going to pick Fall of the Hammer. And then it sort of depends on my deck. What deck am I playing?
This is your first pick.
This is your first pick.
This is my first pick?
Yep.
Well, all right. Pick Fall of the Hammer.
And there's only 3 cards in the pack, and you're really confused.
Yes. Lick Karametra's Favor, flick Nyxborn Shieldmate.
I'm going to pick Nyxborn Shieldmate just because it's so versatile. I'm going to lick Fall of the Hammer because, hello, and I'll flick Karametra's Favor.
Oh. I'm going to pick Fall. I'm going to lick Nyxborn Shieldmate. I'm going to flick Karametra's Favor. Sorry, under uglier competition, you might have been a lick.
Yeah. You really might have.
It is a nice little centaur guy.
I feel the same way about Nyxborn Shieldmate, but it's like, if it's my first pick, I think I might go a little bit for the versatility.
I feel like I just got hurt by red. I just got hurt deep. Now I'm scarred.
Wow.
Here we go. Acolyte's Reward.
Pick.
Colorless and a white. Whoa. Instant prevent the next X damage that would be dealt to target creature this turn, where X is your devotion to white. If damage is prevented this way, Acolyte's Reward deals that much damage to target creature or player.
All right.
There's just a lot of text
up against Deepwater Hypnotist. one and a blue, you get a 2/1. And he is inspired whenever he's untapped. Target creature gets -3/-0.
More like hypnotist.
Into end of turn.
Ooh, and a Setessan Oathsworn. One green, green. Heroic. Put 2+1/+1 counters on it, but it's just a 1/1.
Nasty.
Man, is it like, I mean, is it closing hour at the singles bar or what? All right, I'm picking Acolyte's Reward. I'm licking Deepwater Hypnotist, and I'm flicking Oathsworn Setessan Battle Spirit Warrior Satyr.
Yeah.
I'm going the same way as you, buddy.
I agree. All right, that's that.
1/1 for 3, sorry.
Next up, we've got Marshmist Titan. 6 and a black. Marshmist Titan costs X less to cast, where X is your devotion to black. It's 4/5.
Reap what is sown. 1 green, white. Instant, put a +1/+1 counter on each of up to 3 target creatures.
And Bolt of Kuranos. One red, red. Bolt of Kuranos. 3 damage to target creature. Player scry 1.
Wow, what a sauce factory.
Yeah. That really is a sauce factory.
This is a little tough.
This is a tough one.
I've got it.
Unlike the month of March, Marshmist Titan will not be getting in like a lion or out like a lamb. So that I'm just flicking that.
I'm going to pick Bolt of Kuranos. If this is first pick, just because it's one color, pick Bolt of Kuranos. Lick, reap what is sown. Flick Marshmist Titan.
Oh man, I think I'm gonna pick reap what is sown just because I like to live dangerously, and that seems like a really fun card.
I agree, it's a good card.
Licking Bolt, flicking Titan.
I think I'm gonna pick Reap and lick Bolt. I like both of the cards.
Yeah.
But I do think Reap is more powerful. And Bolt, while it is one color, it is a heavy commitment to red, and as we've decided, red is garbage.
True. That's true.
Even though it's a lot better in this set, I think
it's just a sorcery.
And the fact that it's just one pack. Yeah.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah.
Reap what is sown, at least in my mind, considering what we talked about last week, strictly better, strictly worse. I think it is a strictly worse common bond.
No, opinion. It's not.
That's my opinion.
It's not. But because common bond can put three counters on one target creature, and this card cannot.
What? Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. This card is a worse common bond. Common bond is better.
No, because Common Bond only puts 2 counters.
I know, but you can put them both on the same creature if you want. This one, you can only say, I only have one creature.
But what if you have 3 creatures?
If I have 3 creatures, it's better. Okay, fine. So it's not strictly better.
All right.
Hate you.
Okay, last
here
one.
We go. Mogus, God of Slaughter.
You guys, my hands are magic. What can
Your
I say?
Hands are magic. Archetype of Endurance. Or Oreskos Sun Guide.
Wow, that Sun Guide.
Gross.
Yeah. Really, guys? Because I think for me it goes pick Mogus, lick Oreskos, flick Archetype of Endurance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably got to be the truth.
Wow, Mogus, my dream.
What a hottie.
Mogus, he's indestructible.
What a hottie.
And he deals 2 damage unless an opponent sacrifices a creature.
Ooh, boy.
And he's got a big axe. Wink.
And he's a 7/5 for 4.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. So that is our show for the week. I have to run. I literally have to run. I'm
out
going
of this
to
place?
Run. And so Maria and Ben are going to close the show.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And we're going to tell lots of special information about Megan.
Yep.
No.
Bye, Megan.
Bye, Megan.
Okay.
We're going to miss you.
You can tweet at us. At MTAcast. You guys, we didn't get to do Dear Abby this week, and I even asked for Dear Abby's. Everybody, I'm sorry.
We'll
I'm
just
sorry.
Do some after you're gone.
Thank you.
Don't worry about it, Megan.
Abby's.
We'll go through them. We'll go
Three
through them.
I need a ride. Or Ben. You guys know this. This is not old news.
Okay, everybody. Find us on the web at magicthematuring.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes. You can subscribe or, download us at mtgcast.themeatery.org. And our email is magictheamateuring@gmail.com.
Thank you for all your Dear Abbies. We will answer them.
Yep,
I promise.
Thanks. Bye.